Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's time for another Geek Tyrant podcast, and the ladies are no longer in charge of things. and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Oh, hello. Hello, everybody. Sounds like we got a crowd. Everybody just calm down. All right, EMH here with you. And you know what? We're going to forego the usual first intro question madness. We're just going to introduce the panel straight up because, truthfully, we have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, and we need to get right down to it. So first, we're joined with Mr. Black. How you doing, Mr. Black?
Good. How are you?
I'm excellent. It's good to hear your voice again. Where are you joining us from? Where are you joining us from again?
Hawthorne, California.
I'm getting tired of asking that question. You're in Hawthorne. He's in Hawthorne every time we talk, and
everybody
you know,
knows.
The first time we did it was great. I mean, Mazer's here. Mazer, you're in Burbank, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How are you doing, Mazer?
Doing good.
Excellent, excellent. And also, Dr. Venkman.
Hello.
How was your Thanksgiving, Dr. Venkman?
It was well.
Excellent.
We ate food and stuff. I was sick.
See, for a second, I thought you were going to keep it short. I thought you were going to keep it short and say, yes, it was well. And then there was a little pause. I waited too long. It's like when Norm would ask Cliff a question on Cheers. It was like, oh, there it is. He's just going to go on. But no. Okay, so and we're short the dude tonight. He's not going to join us. We're sorry for that, but we will have to move on without him. But happy December, everybody. It is the holiday season, and of course we'll touch on holiday films later on. But first and foremost, let's get to our box office weekend. It was a busy weekend, as the last several weeks have been at the theater. Anyone want to take a stab at what movie was number one this weekend?
Oh, let me see. The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is it still High School Musical 3?
No. No, that was a long time ago. It seems like just yesterday it was High School Musical 3 and Beverly Hills Chihuahua. But we've actually had several big movies come since then. So, The Day the Earth Stood Still, $31 million over the weekend.
Probably didn't make more than that.
Yeah, anytime you see Keanu Reeves, you know, headlining a film these days, you just instantly get a little worried. And I'm not saying that he's bad or that his movies are all bad. It's just you just can't count on him, right? You guys agree with that?
Well, you can count on what he's going to give you. I mean, he's not – you're not. You know you're not going to expect anything different from him.
Yeah, you're not expecting Othello, you know, Keanu Reeves' Othello.
That's
to
true.
Come out.
That's
or,
true.
You know – his own version of There Will Be Blood, but you'll definitely get an alien or a bewildered messiah or a hacker.
Or Ted. Come on, give me the Ted from Bill and Ted's.
Or
that's
Ted.
Pretty much the only role he was ever born to play.
That was the only role he ever, like, acted, like, for real. Like, gave life to a character.
Everything else was just crap. I'm sorry.
He kind of played Ted again in a toned down version when he was in Parenthood with Steve Martin and Diane Wiest back in the day, which I thought he did good there. You're right. I mean, if you look at the Keanu Reeves resume, it's like one character in the same movie over and over and over, except Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I mean, that's Ted is like his most. You know, I don't want to say diverse characters. The character that has the most, you know, personality of anybody he's played. So yeah, I'm with you there. But The Day the Earth Stood Still, $31 million. Number two this weekend in a really strong showing for this film, Four Christmases. Has anyone seen Four Christmases?
Yep.
Was it good?
I was mixed about it. I liked it. But it didn't, like, blow me away. I really didn't laugh a lot in it. It was released a little too early before Christmas. Because to me, it just didn't seem like a Christmas movie. I don't know. It just kind of seemed like a romantic comedy, maybe.
Uh huh.
If that.
Okay.
I don't know. Enough. It's whatever.
It's making a lot of money, I can tell you that. $13.2 million over the weekend. In 3 weeks now, $87.9 million. So it's already made more than it cost. It's very successful. And I'm sorry, Vince Vaughn has moved up into that upper echelon. I'm not trying to discuss his acting talent. I'm talking about if I see a movie coming out and you tell me, okay, here's the name of the stars in the movie. If I hear Vince Vaughn's name, I want to see the movie. I mean, because he's funny to me in everything he does. I missed Fred Claus last year. I rented it the other day. I popped it in. I've seen like half of Fred Claus. And
it wasn't
I'm sorry.
That bad. I actually rented it this week too. Wasn't that bad of a movie. I really enjoyed it.
No, he makes me laugh. It started with Swingers. And then, he made some mistakes, and he did the
Psycho.
What was it?
He did the Psycho remake. Psycho. He did Domestic Disturbance, where he was kind of the bad guy with John Travolta. Yeah, I mean, he did some of that. But, don't forget his role as the Greenpeace guy in the Lost World Jurassic Park. But, from the time he did Made, and then he came out in Old School. To me, Old School was just absolutely hilarious, and Will Ferrell gets a lot of the credit for his physical comedy, and he brought, of course, the big name recognition to that movie. But Vince Vaughn, the character he plays is so funny. I even thought he was hilarious in Breakup with Jennifer Aniston. He just has a charisma on screen, and even his little cameo appearance in Anchorman, it just made me laugh. It was so funny to me. So I love Vince Vaughn. And then we've talked about Made on this program a lot. But Four Christmases. I haven't seen it yet because I'm waiting on my wife because I want to see it with her, and she hasn't been able to. But it looks hilarious and it's doing very well at the box office. And of course, Jon Favreau apparently has a small part in the movie. So anytime they're on screen together, I'm interested in that too. So
I'm just hoping that Vince Vaughn is going to do a third one so that 10 years from now I can buy the Vince Vaughn Christmas.
Vince Vaughn Christmas collection.
Exactly, that's what I want to be able to buy.
Vince Vaughn, he needs to do. I don't know. I could see Vince Vaughn doing a remake of A Christmas Carol. Not that we need another one of those, but if they ever did an update, it's like another Scrooged type movie. I could see him doing that. Of course, it seems kind of like in a little tiny way, a little bit of the inspiration for Fred Claus. Anyway, but yeah. I don't know. I tell you what, though, you guys remember the movie Fletch, the Chevy Chase?
Yes.
If they ever, that guy that wrote the books that Fletch is based on, if they ever were to do another Fletch movie, I think Vince Vaughn would be outstanding.
I agree with that 110%.
And
that's
an
impossible percentage.
That is. I hate that expression, 110%. No such thing. Okay. Number three, Twilight. $8 million over the course of its fourth weekend.
Ouch.
It's now, it's up to $150 million. The budget was only $37 million.
And they didn't make anything off that movie.
They're
probably not going to make a sequel.
Yeah, they shouldn't do another one. They should just give up.
They're just going to lose money on it.
Let me tell you guys, my wife, who, in all honesty, this year, we probably haven't been to the movies together 5 times, okay? She has seen Twilight 5 times at the theater. I do not get it. Now, she'll try to tell you that it just kind of happened, okay? Well, we went opening night because we were planning on going opening night. And then we went again because it was one of our friends that didn't go with us the last time. And my 15-year-old niece, she really wanted to go. So I only went the third time for her. And then, of course, she had to go with me to make sure that I saw it. Whatever. She's seen this movie 5 times at the box office, okay? And has read all the books. And now, for some reason, is still reading them. It's like she started... Like it's like the story's going to be different or something.
That's exactly what my wife's doing. She's rereading the books. Like, what?
Okay. You know, I know this is like far, you know, long overdue, but now that I've seen Twilight, I at least want to offer this commentary, and forgive me if you guys have already covered it on a night that I wasn't here. When I watched Twilight, I got the feeling every time, because I have not read the book. You know, I was watching the movie very first time, even becoming familiar with the story. But I got the feeling almost every scene that I watched, it seems like I would say to myself, that scene could have been longer. They could have given me more story. It's almost as if there was an attempt to really make sure they didn't make this movie too long. And I know it's 2 hours, and maybe you guys thought it was plenty long enough, but I just got the feeling that there were little elements of the characters that they could have told me about that they didn't. And I'm not even so much criticizing that. It's just that's how I felt when I saw the movie. And then, of course, my wife said, yeah, they left a bunch of stuff out from the book. But I don't know. Did you guys feel that way at all, or was it too long for y'all?
Well, can I proudly say this time that I have not seen it?
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen it either.
I was able to duck out.
Oh, that's sad. First of all, it's sad you haven't seen it.
Where's the dude? I'm sure you've seen it, right?
I'm the only one on the panel. The dude's not here, though.
Yeah.
Has dude seen it?
The dude saw it. The dude did see it.
Yeah.
Obviously none of us have seen it. I don't know how I ducked out of it, but I was able to avoid that, and I honestly don't think I'll make it to the theater to see it.
I will say this, though. At some point, I will see it. I'm just not planning on seeing it in the theaters. I'll put it that way.
There you go. Well,
okay, let me tell you this. First of all, as a male with a staunch record of heterosexuality, I will tell you... I never read the book, and I cannot name a single vampire movie that I've ever liked. I didn't like Interview with the Vampire.
What?
I didn't like Dracula Dead and Loving It. I didn't like...
Who did?
I didn't like Bram Stoker's Dracula. I didn't like Underworld. None of that. I'm telling you right now, I really enjoyed Twilight. I thought it was well done.
I thought
it was a good movie.
Because of your previous comment about not liking vampire movies, I can't trust you on this comment either.
Exactly. Because you guys might see it. You guys might see it and think, well, this is not how vampires are supposed to be, or this is, you know, compare it to other vampire movies. So I certainly understand that statement. But to me, as someone who just doesn't like them, you know, I just enjoyed this one. I thought it was pretty cool, the things that they did and the way that...
Well, you need to go see a little film called Let the Right One In.
Oh, yeah. You guys like that. I know.
That is the single greatest vampire movie I think I've ever seen. It is.
Okay.
It is great. Sorry.
Better than Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That would have been my
favorite one before Twilight. The Christy Swanson, Luke Perry version.
Come on, you had to like that one more than Twilight. You had
no.
to.
But it's Joss Whedon, man.
I really liked Twilight. Although it wasn't as good, obviously, as the women in my life made it out to be, but you know, that was kind of like this. You know, I said the same thing about The Dark Knight. There was no way that movie was going to live up to the expectations or to the hype for me. But you know, I enjoyed Twilight. I will go see the second one. I'll be completely honest. If I wasn't carrying a 16-hour load in college right now, I might actually read the second book to find out what happens next.
Isn't the second movie is going to be like a completely different feel than the first movie, isn't it?
Venkman,
because didn't they like fire the director or something?
Yeah, they fired the person that directed the first one, and they recently brought in the guy that directed The Golden Compass to take on the second and third one. And apparently from what I'm hearing, the second book doesn't have a lot of Edward in it. So the studio's like, well, the movie needs Edward. So from what I've heard, they're going to totally rewrite the second movie so Edward's in it more, because that's kind of the main selling point for the girls, I guess.
Wouldn't they be shooting themselves in the foot if they did that with all the fans?
Oh, yeah, of course, but they don't care.
That's true.
They just saw how all the girls reacted to the actor that played Edward, and that's what they're going off of. They're not going off the fact that they've read the books.
I don't understand these Hollywood producers, man. I really don't understand these guys.
I'm gonna say this, you guys.
Frankly, Go ahead.
No, I'm with
say,
you. Go ahead,
I was just gonna say, frankly, I don't care what they do with the second one.
I'm talking about Hollywood producers in general.
Hey, but that is not cool. Okay, I will say this: you mentioned the director, and I did not know that they are going a different way as far as directors go. Because I do want to point this out: the director for Twilight is a woman, and her name is Catherine Hardwicke. And before this, she had just directed 13, which was a popular indie film in 2003, Lords of Dogtown in 2005, and then Nativity Story in 2006. And I bring this up because, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like Twilight, if it's not already, it's going to become the highest grossing movie ever to be directed by a woman.
It already is.
Okay. Because I know Penny Marshall has had, you know, a movie or two that's made $100 million, but I didn't know if.
But in all honesty, it really doesn't have anything to do with Catherine Hardwicke. It has to do with the fan base that's been created since before this was even made into a movie.
Think about it.
This would have made this much money if we had Brett Ratner direct it. I mean, if we had anybody direct this movie, it would have probably made this kind of thing. I don't think it matters that she directed it.
But having it been a woman, then it's like, you know, okay. You know, it's kind of, it just kind of fell in the line with the stars or whatever. I mean, if you're going to, you know, get all, like, do the whole, you know, have women in Hollywood thing, then yeah, it's going to make a difference to the women in Hollywood. So I think that, before her, the last movie that made money
that's hard for me. When Steven Spielberg can still make a movie like Amistad that, you know, is critically, you know, successful but not at the box office. Yeah, I understand. Twilight, it's these wildly popular books, and the women were going to go see it regardless. But to me, that explains. You know, that explains your first couple of weekends. The fact that the movie has pushed well beyond $100 million. You got to think. Yeah, it was a big series of books, but it's not like the studio knew this was a home run. Number one, it's a dark genre, vampire genre, which is not incredibly popular at the theaters by itself. Number two, they only poured $37 million into this. I guarantee the budget for the second one's going to be twice that.
Oh yeah,
they didn't give this particular director a whole lot, and I'm not saying they should have. To me, I don't know. I was impressed, and I'm not. You know, I'm certainly not what you would consider a liberal, and I'm not a champion for women's rights or women's, you know, positions or issues or whatever.
Yes, you are.
I am not. I don't even like women. No, I'm kidding. But I was impressed, and I wanted to mention that, and it just disappoints me that they're not going to. I mean, if they fired her, no, I don't want to say fired because you can't get fired if you were never signed to do it. But
one of the things they said is she was difficult to work with, that she was very demanding. But if you think about it, what director in Hollywood isn't?
Yeah.
You know? And so there are obviously other reasons. Like, you know, the guy – what's his name? What's the guy that's directing – what's the guy that's directing it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
All right, then, moving on.
You go ahead, Bankman. You talk about Twilight. I'm tired of that. Well, no.
Chris White. But anyway, I forgot what I was going to say anyway about it. So we're moving on.
We can edit all this out anyway.
We'll clean it up in post. Bolt is number four over the weekend. $7.5 million. Bolt has now hit $88 million. So that, you know, looks like a $100 million movie again for the Walt Disney Corporation.
On a side note of Bolt,
yes.
I haven't seen it yet, But I know the guy who played the hamster.
Nice! Because that's my favorite character in the trailer.
I like
Bolt. He's actually a friend of mine, so, I mean...
Well, get him on the podcast. Because I want to talk to him. He's funny.
We can try. I mean, I can talk to him. I can ask him. I'm sure he'd be willing to do it. He's a huge movie geek, too. Been to his house a few times, so...
Nice.
Yeah, he's the hamster. That's awesome.
We can talk about it later.
You get on that, Black. That's great. Number five, Australia. $4.2 million. Oh, goodness. I don't know. Did anybody see Australia?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
I did. I went and saw Australia. And was okay. It was a huge, epic film. I mean, it was very big. It played out like those older movies like Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz. It had that type of feel, like just that type of older movie feel to it. Nicole Kidman sucked. She was the worst part of the movie.
Harsh criticism. She's a great actress.
No, you know, I don't know. She was so just way over the top, fake. You know, I wonder if they were going for that. I don't know, but everyone else in the film seemed, grounded. They seemed really good. But she was just, it's like she was on in a stage play or something.
Maybe she thought she was in another Moulin Rouge film.
Maybe. It was just kind of annoying, though. I didn't like it. I didn't like her. The movie itself wasn't that bad. But, Nicole Kidman killed it for me.
Well, I will say this. This movie has made $37 million in 3 weeks. Anyone want to guess at the budget?
It's like $170 million or something.
not quite that bad there, Bingman. $130 million. So that's
that's
huge
still a big budget.
Yeah.
I don't know why they went with a budget that big.
Yeah.
The movie isn't that appealing to everybody. When I went to the theater, they were all in their 60s. I would think I was the youngest guy there.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't have spent
the audience.
I wouldn't have spent more than 80 on that. That would have even then I'd be like, how are we going to make it back profitably?
Yeah. Yeah. They have spent $100 million more than Twilight for their budget.
Cuz I know it's got Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman, but it's not that kind of movie.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you pronounce the guy's name, Baz Luhrmann. I mean, it's his first film since Moulin Rouge, and though that was, very successful, I don't think that he's the kind of director that you can kind of say, okay, you haven't done a movie in 7 years. Here's $130 million. But
have at it.
Yeah, yeah. Go for it, there, buddy. We saved a little bit. We had Fox. I don't know. Fox distributed it. I don't know what company produced the movie. Maybe it was Fox. But
it was Fox. The best part of the movie was the cinematography. I mean, it was shot incredibly well, and that's what impressed me the most about it. But other than that, it was a mediocre film.
They've got to be hoping there's going to be some Oscar nominations coming its way, so they can kind of recoup even some of the box office. But it sounds like Venkman doesn't see, maybe a cinematography nod. Venkman doesn't see much in that feature.
Exactly. Nicole Kidman will not be nominated for Best Actress.
That's a shame. So your top five box office: The Day the Earth Stood Still at $31 million. Four Christmases holds strong in its third week at $13.2 million. Twilight still, eating up the competition, $8 million. Bolt, $7.5 million, and Australia, $4.2 million. Rounding out the top ten, Quantum of Solace, Nothing Like the Holidays, Madagascar 2, Milk, and Transporter 3. I find it sad that Cadillac Records is not in the top 10 anymore. Has anybody seen Cadillac Records, by the way?
Haven't heard of it.
That I have.
No,
you haven't heard of it?
I saw the poster, I've seen the trailer.
I want to see it, but I just...
See, this is what happens when we skip a couple of weeks. Cadillac Records is supposed to be, it looks like not a documentary, but a, I don't know, kind of a, I don't even want to say biopic because there were different lives. It just it was like back in the days of Etta James and Chuck Berry and some of these musicians, and of course Cadillac Records being the record company. It just kind of told the story of some of those people and the business back in those times. You know, similar, I guess, to a Great Balls of Fire with Jerry Lee Lewis or Ray or something like that, except it's not focused on the life of one person, but more like the industry or the life of this company, Cadillac Records. So, I don't know. It looked good to me on the trailer. Beyonce plays Etta James, and boy, she can sing. Okay. Anyway, so I guess I'll have to do a little more research on that. Okay, so there's your box office. We're there. I want to get into holiday movies, but we have a pretty big topic. Does anybody know what big topic we have tonight?
The host of the Oscars?
No. But I'll tell you that. I'm pretty ticked off about that.
I knew you would be.
I knew I would be. But... No, the Golden Globe nominees.
Oh, yeah.
Those
things.
We could go 2 hours right now on Golden Globe nominees. Well, we're not gonna, but we could. the Golden Globe nominations came out earlier last week. Now, folks, it just seems like the Golden Globes are destined to be Oscars. What do you want to say? Oscars' little brother? Cousin?
I don't even put them in the same boat, to be honest with you.
It just seems like they're more casual.
Yeah, they are. They're more casual. It's more just like, hey, look at these.
It's like the fun little brother, you know, the one that's always partying and stuff, whereas the Oscars is the formal, more responsible brother.
Yes. Yes.
Like something like that, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's true. What bothers me, well, we'll get into all this. Let's just talk first about the nominees, and we'll try to go through them relatively quickly. The nominations for the Best Feature Motion Picture Drama, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, The Reader, Revolutionary Road, and Slumdog Millionaire.
Now, you know what I hate about this real quick?
Go ahead.
I haven't seen any of these films that have been nominated for Best Picture. And that's just kind of pisses me off. That all these movies that have been nominated are all coming out in the next 2 weeks, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I tried to see Slumdog Millionaire last night, and it was sold out, so I wasn't able to see it. I ended up seeing Boy in the Striped Pajamas, which was depressing as hell.
Thank you. See, you get a little bonus, a mini review there from Vigman. Yeah, I agree. I will tell you this. You know, some of these awards you could give. That's the sad part, is that you could make predictions on who's going to win, and these movies haven't even come out yet. And
I know.
You could probably
all
make pretty decent predictions.
All my predictions are coming off the trailer and the hype that I've been reading. Right. That's it. that's all I
exactly.
can make a prediction off of. It's stupid. Oh,
I love it. I think the Curious Case of Benjamin Button seems to be, to me, the most intriguing story.
I agree.
I don't know. Any comments? Anybody else want to weigh in on that, on those nominees?
I mean, Slumdog Millionaire's getting a lot of hype. It's on everybody's top 10 list that's come out, which, by the way, we'll get our top 10 lists up soon. Anyway, yeah, so
I gotta get mine too. Go ahead. Listen.
Okay, we're moving on.
This will all get edited out.
Yeah,
no,
Slumdog Millionaire. Slumdog Millionaire. Slumdog Millionaire. Let me tell you about this Slumdog Millionaire. I tried to see it. I haven't even seen it. Tried to see it.
This is raw. This is Geek Tyrant raw.
Striped pajamas. Depressing. Slumdog Millionaire. I tried to see it.
And it happened again. I lost my train of thought. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, somebody ran on time tonight, huh, guys?
Yeah, forget that. That's not happening. You guys.
What was I going to say?
Slumdog Millionaire. Oh, my gosh.
We're moving on.
You're talking about Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay, it's on everybody's top 10 list, and I think that'll probably be nominated for an Oscar and give everything else will run for its money. But I'd still go for the curious case of Benjamin Button. That's just me.
And you guys, I mean...
Just because I'm a David Fincher fan.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you guys the opportunity now to complain about the absence of The Dark Knight.
You know, I honestly didn't expect it to be nominated for the Golden Globes.
Wait a second. The Golden Globes, as we just talked about, if there's any awards ceremony, well, I shouldn't say any, but compared to the Oscars, if there's going to be a nominee that has more commercial appeal and worldwide audience, you know, appreciation, wouldn't you say that the Golden Globes were much more likely to nominate The Dark Knight than the Oscars?
I think that the Golden Globe, the people that run the Golden Globes, are a bit more snobby than the people that run the Oscars. To be honest with you, I mean, look at the movies that they're all little film. You know, well, Case of Benjamin Button, I hear, was pretty expensive, but the rest of them are all fairly small films
or not out yet.
Or not? None of them are out yet.
Not yet.
Like, oh yeah, they all got to see it. Sheesh.
Or maybe The Dark Knight is suffering because it came out in the same year as Max Payne.
Well, maybe with
they canceled each other out. That's right. The Happening.
Dark Knight was so good that they just, if they would have put it in, they would have known it would have won. And they're like, well, look, we can't give it to a comic book movie this year. We got to give it to like one of these that, you know, make us, you know, feel better about ourselves. I don't know.
Okay. I tell you what, though, I mean, looking at the list of movies that have come out this year, in all honesty, I can't name, you know, three dramas that I think got snubbed, except for maybe The Visitor that came out like in February with Richard Jenkins, and I still did not like that movie very much.
Agreed.
But I know it had more appeal. I mean, I guess you could argue that W... Maybe, I don't know, with the Oliver Stone.
No, I don't think that was the best type film either. I think they just saved all the good movies for the end of the year, you know?
Okay, well, there you go. So no big complaints about that. Okay, now, here's one thing about the Golden Globes. Let me ask you this. Do you like everybody knows that comedies get the shaft when it comes to the Academy Awards.
Yes.
Except for maybe the Best Supporting Actor or Actress category. Do you guys think that it's good that the Golden Globes has a Best Comedy or Musical, or do you think that that kind of eliminates the possibility of a comedy, you know, winning the Best Picture Oscar? I mean, in other words, in creating that Best Feature Comedy, I don't know, is it insulting to comedy movies, or do you like it?
You know, it's just another Best Feature that you give more films a chance to win something, I guess.
You know, that's a good
like,
point.
These are all good. They're all, you know, Burn After Reading was good. In Burgess was good. I didn't see Happy Go Lucky, Mamma Mia, or Vicky Cristina Barcelona. But it gives these movies an opportunity to win something. It's almost, to me, it seems like, hey, here's the runner-up, you know?
Yeah,
you do, have a good point in that it gives, like, it lets us have more movies that can win, in a way. I mean, if they're going to distinguish between best comedy or whatever, they should just do that for every genre and not have a best movie. Or have a best movie that involves every genre.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know if that made any sense. But.
Well, no, it's like okay.
Are they ever going to have like a best feature like horror movie? You know,
I think they should. If they're going to have a best comedy or a best musical, then they should have a best horror, a best science fiction, a best comedy.
Now you're talking crazy.
you're just talking crazy. I think there should be a best teen comedy written by a Wayans brother. That should be a
there
category.
You go.
But I agree. But if once again, and this is where you come into that little brother, you know, argument. If they're going to do that, it's got to be at the Golden Globes. You can't do that at the Oscars. That's why, even though I appreciate the Oscars a couple years ago moving to that best animated feature, doesn't that kind of, I mean, in all honesty, that incredibly cripples the chances of an animated movie ever winning Best Picture.
Oh, yeah.
Because Beauty and the Beast, still, I think, to this day, the only animated feature ever nominated for Best Picture.
Yes.
Or maybe Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, but no, I think Beauty and the Beast is the only one.
Yeah.
And to me, that was, I remember that was such a big, big deal. And it should be. But now that there's a Best Animated Feature, I know there was some talk for WALL-E this year, but you guys know that's not going to happen. I mean, WALL-E's not going to get nominated for Best Feature or Best Picture. And I just think that they have this category. It's kind of like, yes, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film and Best Picture in the same year. I think that that was kind of obviously very rare. We discussed on the podcast before how it has happened a few times here in the last 20 years, but overall it's not a very common thing. But I just think that that really hurts the chances of a foreign language film ever winning Best Picture, or that ever happening, you know, more than once or twice. I don't know. It just seems like when you create these categories, it's like you're trying to be more accepting. But at the same time, it's almost like you're saying this is less of a category of picture. But
yeah,
that's just you know, my now with as Dr. Venkman's kind of let the cat out of the bag there, the comedy nominees: Burn After Reading, Happy Go Lucky, In Bruges, Mamma Mia, Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there, too. I do not like that they're copping out with this category, and they call it Best Feature, Musical, or Comedy. What does one got to do with the other? I mean,
Exactly. I agree. 100%.
This is going to be Best Drama or Western.
Other thing I'd like to point out. I don't know if you've seen In Bruges or not, but that's not a comedy.
Exactly. That was going to be my biggest pet peeve of the entire night, okay? In Bruges, I saw it. I rented it. I heard it was great. This movie was not a comedy. If it was, it was the darkest of dark comedies ever.
Seriously.
I mean, what kind of comedy is it when your lead character has killed a child? And that, to me, is very wrong.
Right? I agree. Yeah. It's like, how did that make it in the best comedy? I didn't laugh once in that movie.
I laughed out loud a couple of times, but it was a very unnerving laugh, and I did not feel good about it when I did. So, but yeah, it was that was not a comedy. And you know, the Coen brothers are just adored by Hollywood, and Burn After Reading seems to be a logical choice. Although Mamma Mia was really well liked by a lot of people this year, made a lot of money, and critics loved it too. So I don't know, but I would say Burn After Reading would have to be considered the favorite. But you know, I haven't seen any others. I mean, the only one I've seen is In Bruges, and I'm not voting for that. Okay, Best Actor in a Drama: Leonardo DiCaprio in Revolutionary Road, Frank Langella in Frost Nixon.
Haven't seen it.
Sean Penn in Milk.
Haven't seen it.
Brad Pitt in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler.
Once again, there it is.
Haven't seen.
Okay, half those movies haven't even been out yet.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think we're going to see that in almost all these categories. It seems like there's a lot of buzz about Mickey Rourke in The Wrestler. He could be this year's long shot that people are, oh, yeah, what a great comeback for Mickey Rourke. And I'm like, okay, comeback. I mean, I didn't know he was ever there. But, I mean, you know, 9.5 weeks is not something I'm going to hang my hat on, you know, for my career if I'm trying to be, you know, acclaimed. I don't know. I agree with you guys. Some of these movies haven't come out. I haven't seen any of them. Best Actress in a Drama: Anne Hathaway, Rachel Getting Married, Angelina Jolie in Changeling, Meryl Streep in Doubt, Kristen Scott Thomas, I've Loved You So Long, and Kate Winslet in Revolutionary Road. I don't know. I think this is going to Anne Hathaway, Rachel Getting Married. I mean, that's your indie film, not that, you know, popular of a film. But
anybody's seen it?
I haven't seen it.
I have to go with Meryl Streep because it's Meryl Streep. So
Because see, to me, but that's like if there's nobody else there to give it to, or if the performance is so great.
Let's call it as it is. Let's just do it.
Okay. Anne Hathaway's going to win. There, I said it. That's it. I've thrown down the gauntlet. How about this? Best actor in a comedy or musical? Javier Bardem and Vicky Cristina Barcelona, James Franco in Pineapple Express, Brendan Gleeson in Bruges, Colin Farrell in Bruges, and Dustin Hoffman, Last Chance Harvey. Okay, first of all, In Bruges is not a comedy. Secondly, there's no chance either one of those guys can win. As we all know, if you got two guys nominated in the same category, they're going to cancel each other out. And I don't know, James Franco, Pineapple Express, you've got to be kidding me. Now, I didn't see the movie, but you've just got to be kidding me. How hard is it to play a stoner?
I was floored when I saw that, because I'm like, how can that be? Because
it's stupid.
It was just stupid.
I mean, I know we're on a podcast. We want people to respect our opinions. We need to try to be more articulate. But come on, that's just stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Even if you were going to give it to a comedy of that nature, you can't tell me that he did better than Will Ferrell or John C. Reilly in Step Brothers.
Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here real quick and say Vicky Cristina Barcelona isn't really a comedy either. Have you seen the trailer?
Yes.
That thing looks like a depressing love story of betrayal and just tons of crap going on. It doesn't look like a comedy or a musical.
And again,
So let's just say four out of these five nominations deserve to be in there. Dustin Hoffman wins.
I didn't see this movie. I'm going to see it as soon as I can. But it looks like Steve Carell was hilarious in Get Smart. And this was a movie that, based on a TV show, and could have just completely flopped. This was a movie that made $130 million, and Steve Carell looked hilarious. Why would they not nominate him? Why are they going to nominate James Franco?
Why aren't they nominating anything for Ghost Town? That's one of the best comedies this year. Why have they not nominated that?
That movie should have been nominated.
Why is not Ricky Gervais nominated for best actor in a comedy? Why? Huh?
Politics.
I would rather.
None of the Emmy people are
listening
to us right now, but they're a bunch of a-holes.
Matthew McConaughey in Fool's Gold would have been a better nominee than James Franco in Pineapple Express. That's, oh my gosh, I've got to move on. That's really taking a lot out of me. I'm not happy about that. Okay. Best actress in a comedy or musical: Rebecca Hall, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Sally Hawkins in Happy Go Lucky, Meryl Streep again, Mamma Mia, Emma Thompson in Last Chance Harvey, and then Frances McDormand in Burn After Reading. Now, see, this is a category I look at and say, okay, I don't see anything here that just blowing my mind, so give it to the old standby. To me, that would be Frances McDormand when it comes to categories like this. So I'd say she's the favorite now.
Yeah, I agree.
Best director in a motion picture: Danny Boyle in Slumdog Millionaire, Stephen Daldry, The Reader, David Fincher in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Ron Howard, Frost Nixon, and Sam Mendes, Revolutionary Road.
Better than Fincher.
I better go to Fincher.
I mean, because the guy is a great director, and he, you know.
Yeah.
Compared to, I don't know. Yeah, I'd go with David Fincher.
Since he got his own month in, you know, on the website, I think that's what really sent it over the top for Fincher. Although, anytime I see Ron Howard's name on a list, then I always want to pull for him because his movies, if you look at all the directors and you look at the balance of who does movies that are so loved by audiences and critically acclaimed, the list, it's Spielberg and Ron Howard.
Yeah.
Right now. I mean, even George Lucas, I don't think, gets the same balance as those
two
guys.
Not anymore. George Lucas ain't getting a lot of love these days.
No, he is not.
Well, he kind of did that to himself, so...
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Okay, this is my favorite category. Okay, this is it. And the guys that I want to win have no chance of winning whatsoever. I'm talking, of course, about the best supporting actor category. Listen to this list. Heath Ledger, we knew that was coming. Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. Philip Seymour Hoffman in Doubt. Ralph Fiennes in The Duchess. Robert Downey Jr., Tropic Thunder. And Tom Cruise, Tropic Thunder. And keep in mind, this is not a category of best supporting actor in a musical or comedy. This is overall. This is the entire year.
Yeah.
So forget about your Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Slumdog Millionaires, your Wrestler, your Reader, your Vicky Cristina Barcelona's, your all those other movies that are going to be acclaimed and nominated for more things. The best supporting actor, we've got commercially appealing movies. Three out of the five right there.
Yep.
I watched Tropic Thunder a couple weeks ago. I always tell my wife, yes, they're stupid movies, but there are a lot of stupid comedies out there. Pineapple Express is stupid, okay? Step Brothers is absolutely stupid. But within the stupid concept, there can still be really good elements. And Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder probably impressed me more than any performance I saw this year, including The Dark Knight, because even at its essence, Heath Ledger was playing a psychopath. Now, yeah, he gave his heart and soul, and I think he deserves a nomination, and I'm not even saying he doesn't deserve the award, but to me, playing crazy is very overrated in movies. I think it's very overrated. That's why Jack Nicholson's the most overrated actor of all time. Now, he's good, but he's overrated. Every big success he's ever had as an actor, he was playing some sort of crazy guy. Whether it be One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, or even the guy when he won, you know, for As Good as It Gets in the 90s, and when he was, you know, Few Good Men, which he didn't win, but he was nominated. He was still a guy that in the end was crazy. He just plays that character. He plays it over and over. And to me, Heath Ledger played crazy. He played it as about as well as it's ever been played before. But Robert Downey Jr. played an Australian actor who was so method that he actually had the surgery to change his skin to black because a character he was portraying was black. And in a different decade, and I mean, Robert Downey Jr. played that so well. I don't know. Maybe I've got it overrated. Now, Tom Cruise, again, he just played crazy. I honestly think he probably got that supporting actor nomination for two reasons. Number one, because he's Tom Cruise playing crazy, which you really don't see. And number two,
you can see that in the eye.
Right. Jeez. But not on the screen.
Yeah,
and the other reason is because of the, I think the makeup job. To be honest with you, I think people were just so blown away that was Tom Cruise. Now the dancing was absolutely hilarious. And I don't know, have you guys seen Tropic Thunder?
Yes,
I have not.
But yeah, I don't know why Cruise is in there. Still, it just seems wrong.
But have you seen it?
Seems. Yeah, I've seen it.
It seemed weird, didn't it?
Yeah. Why isn't he in Best Supporting Comedy? Right, actor.
But they don't have that. That's the thing. They don't have a best supporting actor in a comedy or best supporting actor in a drama. They just have best actor in a drama and best actor in a comedy, but not supporting actor.
I see.
Now that character he played in Tropic Thunder, they are talking about making a spin-off movie off his character. So we may get a full movie based on
Les Wiseman or something like that?
Les Wiseman, yeah. So we may get a whole movie just for him.
All right. Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams in Doubt. Penelope Cruz in Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Viola Davis in Doubt. Marissa Tomei in The Wrestler. And Kate Winslet in The Reader. I don't know. Kate Winslet, I would guess. I mean, yeah. Marissa Tomei already has one. Amy Adams and Viola Davis, as we've talked about, they will split votes. So it becomes a two-woman race, Penelope Cruz versus Kate Winslet. Kate Winslet's going to be nominated. She's nominated for two different roles, two different movies. She's not going to win for Revolutionary Road, so they're going to give it to her for The Reader. So why do they even have these shows? We know who's going to win. Okay. Best screen. Oh, and by the way, I haven't seen any of those movies. Best screenplay. Simon Beaufoy. Am I saying that right?
Sure.
Slumdog Millionaire. Peter Morgan and Frost Nixon. David Hare in The Reader. Eric Roth, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And John Patrick Shanley for Doubt.
Haven't seen any of the movies. But I'm going to go with Slumdog Millionaire because it won't win Best Picture. Well, usually if it doesn't win Best Picture, they give it the Best Screenplay.
I'll go Slumdog Millionaire because from the premise I've heard, I haven't seen it either, but from the premise it actually sounds like one of the more something different that we haven't seen in Hollywood in a long time. So okay. I just like the concept behind it, but I haven't seen the movie, so I don't even know if it's crap or not.
Well, I can understand. Yeah, that makes sense. The Slumdog Millionaire would win that. Okay. What are we talking about here now? Okay. Best animated. I'm going to skip over foreign language film because I don't care unless you guys want to talk about it.
I haven't seen any of those either.
And bless their hearts, they probably all come out and are gone. Best animated feature film. This is a three-man race. And I say man, but there's not a man playing the lead in any of them. We have a dog in Bolt, a panda in Kung Fu Panda, and a robot in WALL-E. You guys, we've talked about this before. I'm going with WALL-E.
It's going to be Bolt.
Not
all the way Bolt.
I'm going with Kung Fu Panda just to split it even more.
I'm going with none of those because I haven't seen any of them except WALL-E.
Nice. So we've got three nominations, four people in the panel, and we still don't have a favorite to win this award.
I abstain. I'm going Eve from WALL-E. There we go. Even though she's not nominated, she's still there.
Nice. I think that if there's going to be a front runner, I think you got to say the WALL-E is the front runner because it is of the three movies. It is the more artistic of the three. But you know, Venkman said that he thought Bolt was better than both WALL-E and Kung Fu Panda. I thought Kung Fu Panda was awesome. I guess I never thought that I would watch an animated movie and actually fall in love with the cinematography. I thought the cinematography in Kung Fu Panda was awesome. Yeah, and I know that's not really what it is, but the computer-generated cinematography was great. It was beautiful. That's what, you know, the ancient Asian world would look like if it was real. But
and animals owned it.
If animals could talk in Asia, that would be it. Okay. I'm not going to talk about the best score other than to mention I think it's kind of cool that Clint Eastwood actually wrote the score for Changeling, and it's nominated.
Yeah. Good for him.
Not to mention the best original song, Gran Torino from Gran Torino, music by Clint Eastwood right there. He was part of a team, Jamie Cullum and Kyle Eastwood, Michael Stevens also. But I think, again, that's pretty cool. Okay, one thing I do like about Golden Globes, they give some television awards, and we'll go through these real quick. You guys let me know what you think. Best television series drama, Dexter, House, In Treatment, Mad Men, and True Blood. What do you think?
I would go with Dexter just because I like it, but I think Mad Men will win.
Wait a minute, True Blood was on that list?
Yes. I knew you would have a problem with that.
That is like one of the worst shows out right now. I can't even believe it's still on the air, let alone being nominated.
Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad.
A stupid show.
But I haven't seen it. But I mean,
I saw the first episode, and the first episode just completely turned me off for the entire series.
So you're not voting for that one?
Oh, hell no.
What about you, Mazer? What do you think?
Yeah, it's gonna be Mad Men. It just look tracking what they happened with the Emmys.
Mad Men is so beloved right now, but there's a lot of people that like Dexter.
I would go Dexter. I mean, that's the one I would pick personally.
I love Dexter. Good show.
Mad Men seems like the obvious choice to me because it's just such a critically acclaimed and it has all the buzz behind it.
Yeah.
But if I was on that panel and I was voting, I would definitely go Dexter just because it's just such a great show.
I do think it's a shame that there are not more people writing. Well, okay, I shouldn't make this assumption. It seems to me that the critics, whoever's deciding these nominations, they now just believe that the network shows are too common and too many people know them. I mean, I know that House was nominated, and I know that this show just came out, and I know that it's brand new, but I'm telling you right now, The Mentalist is one of the best shows on television, and there's, in my opinion, should have been nominated for Best Television Series Drama. I don't watch In Treatment. I don't watch True Blood. You know, I really don't watch any of these shows. I know that they're well respected, most of them, and I don't have a complaint with all of them. But if you're not watching The Mentalist, you're missing out. And if you watched it and didn't like it, well, then I can't help you. but I love that show. I'm not necessarily saying anybody should have been nominated for Best Actor or anything like that, but the show...
What network is The Mentalist on?
It comes on Tuesday nights on CBS.
Okay, no one... I don't watch CBS.
Nice.
I usually don't. I'm
yeah.
Well, I understand.
The only show I watch on CBS is How I Met Your Mother. That's it.
Yeah. And I caught that late, and I always end up just, you know, catching it after the season's over and just watching it all the way through.
Which brings me to my next category. Thank you for the segue, guys. Best television series, comedy, or musical.
Which doesn't include How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly, and that's going to be my big problem with this category.
Before you go on, did you see How I Met Your Mother like 2 weeks ago in the ending? When Neil Patrick Harris ended the show with the Doogie Howser thing where he's typing on his computer screen?
Yes.
That was awesome.
Yes, it was. How I Met Your Mother is just one of the most original and coolest comedies of the last 10 years. I think it's awesome. And I don't know why that it wasn't nominated. I tell you what is incredibly over-the-top, overrated, possibly more overrated than any comedy that I've ever seen in my life, and that's 30 Rock. I made myself TiVo it and watch it this season. I've seen every episode this season. I have laughed. I've found it entertaining. But oh my gosh, it got more Emmys than any in 1 year than any comedy in the history of television this year. That's so ridiculous. Tina Fey is not a great. She's an average or a decent television actress.
Seriously, when she won, I was like, what? She's just such a mediocre actress in it.
It's like, here, you did so good as Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live. Let's give you the best actress in a comedy for 30 Rock. I mean, don't be surprised if she's nominated for an Oscar for Baby Mama because of her Sarah Palin impression and her championing of all things Democrat. You know, she. Now, don't get me wrong. An incredible writer. Very funny. I've loved watching her on Saturday Night Live and
just not a great actress.
And 30 Rock, it's a good comedy. It's not great, in my opinion. Californication was nominated. It's right now that seems to be a hot pick, a hot show. I would think that will win. Entourage was also nominated. The Office was nominated. And Weeds was nominated. Now, you guys know my opinion. The Office is the funniest show on television. It's already one of the five funniest shows of all time. Again, my opinion. But you know, I would vote for that every time.
The one I would personally vote for is Entourage. That show to me is like, it's just like, it's almost like crack because you just have to keep watching it. And I'm the whole Office thing. I'm sorry to say this, but I'm not a big fan of the American version. I like the British version better. And yeah. I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of the American version.
I understand that. I've got no problems with that.
I'd have to go for The Office. I love all those shows, but The Office for me is, if it's a comedy, The Office is the funniest one up there.
If it's a comedy, I love that.
If we're voting for a comedy, I mean
If In Bruges was nominated, it would not be funny. I don't know. I don't know. I think that I'm more upset that How I Met Your Mother is not nominated. I don't know. I'll tell you what's rebounded, in my opinion, in a big way. I don't think it deserved to be nominated, but I think My Name is Earl has rebounded this season, and they've gotten back to the essence of the show, and that's Earl and his list. And if you guys gave up on it...
I gave up on it.
Folks, we're moving on. Wait, aren't we in the middle of a discussion, or does it really matter? It doesn't really matter.
Let's just move on.
Okay. I'm going to wrap this up with these last two categories. And I just want to talk about best actor and actress in a television series, comedy or musical. There's that category again, comedy or musical. Christina Applegate, Samantha Who, America Fiera in Ugly Betty, Deborah Messing in The Starter Wife, Mary Louise Parker in Weeds, and Tina Fey in 30 Rock. Got to be freaking kidding me.
Mary Louise Parker in Weeds is she's amazing in that show, and she has not won for it yet she's the best actress out of all of these shows. She's the best actress in a TV series, comedy or musical, because there's lots of TV musicals out there.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, I would have to. My vote would be for Mary Louise Parker. She deserves it. Gotcha. She needs the win.
Okay.
Tina Fey doesn't.
No, definitely not. Best performance by an actor in a television series, comedy, or musical. Alec Baldwin, 30 Rock, Steve Carell, The Office, Kevin Connolly, Entourage, David Duchovny, Californication, and Tony Shalhoub, Monk.
Kevin Connolly get in that? I mean, he's like, he's good, but he's the least
when you
funny
have a
character in that
when
show.
You have a show. When you have a show that's nominated for so much so often, usually everybody's going to get their chance eventually to get nominated. That's the only answer I can give you. Sorry. Alec Baldwin, 30 Rock. Now, that is a nomination for that show that I can live with, because he's pretty funny in that show. He really is. Steve Carell in The Office is great. I still think that so much of The Office is they're an ensemble cast, and so it's hard. I know Steve Carell gets the most screen time, and if you got to nominate somebody from The Office, that's the guy. But sometimes it is hard to say best actor, because he is a supporting actor in so many ways. I think David Duchovny is probably the sexy pick for this. This guy's, back on television. He got had the whole sex addiction thing, and people absolutely love this show. So I think right now I would pick David Duchovny to win this award.
There you go.
The only other thing I wanted to point out is I thought it was interesting that Kiefer Sutherland was actually nominated in the category Best Performance by an Actor in a Miniseries or Motion Picture Made for Television for 24 Redemption, which, to me that was interesting. Kiefer Sutherland, he didn't really have to stretch his acting legs too much for that one. I think he does during the season of 24, but the show didn't have to do so much, but...
I'm going to go out on a limb here real quick.
Go ahead.
For all of the awards nominated, all the shows nominated for a miniseries or motion picture made for television, I'm going to say that John Adams will probably take all of them. Hello?
It should.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for me. next week. Okay, look, in all sincerity, next week we got to talk about Christmas movies, but I wanted to give you guys some time to get your Christmas movies together because that's going to be the dominating topic of conversation next week. We're going to talk good. About the what Christmas specials do you absolutely have to see on television, what Christmas episodes of your favorite shows when you were a kid, like in the Full House when they got stuck in the airport or something of that nature, you know. Anything like that, or, you know, say by the Bell when Zach found the homeless guy living in the mall and he had the hot daughter that Zach wanted to go out with, you know, that sort of thing.
I remember that episode.
And then, well.
I remember that episode very well.
Of course you do, because it's classic, Saved by the Bell. Other than, of course, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas and all sorts of stuff. So we're going to talk about all the Christmas stuff next week and get you guys set for your holiday movies. And, of course, we'll talk about, you know, what's big at the box office and all that good stuff. So, anybody want to add anything before we head out? That is excellent.
Hello?
You guys can always be counted on. I will say this. This week, a pretty good week for movies coming out. We've already talked about The Wrestler as being highly critically acclaimed. A lot of awards are going to be this movie's going to be nominated for a lot of awards. That comes out this week. Also, The Tale of Despero, which is the animated movie, computer generated, all that good stuff about the mouse with the gigantic ears. That trailer to me is absolutely hilarious. That mouse looks adorable. And a movie that intrigues me more than any movie I've seen in a while, and that's 7 Pounds with Will Smith. I'm excited for that. And, of course, the fluff movie Yes Man with Jim Carrey. Bless his heart, he's still trying. That's coming out this week. So big week for movies as far as releases. So we got a lot to talk about next week.
Sounds good.
I had a great time. I hope you guys have had a good time.
Yeah.
Big
great
stuff
time. Always a great time.
Well, hopefully we'll have the dude back next week. Hopefully everybody here. Got Mazer, got Mr. Black, Dr. Vinkman, and myself. For now, I am still EMH. I'm in the process of tinkering with that. We'll talk about that next time, maybe. All right. So long, everybody.
All right. Take care.
Night.
Later.